Hi, everybody. We're going to get started. Any announcements, questions, comments before we get rocking and rolling? Did people receive the sample midterm that they get out? Okay. The other thing I've got is a homework 3, which I'll make due after the midterm is due, so you have a little more time on that. But I wanted to get it out before the midterm is due because there's a couple other questions on there of a similar style to some of the questions on the midterm. So that'll give you another opportunity to practice and ask questions and make sure that you get it. Monica says, yeah, go ahead.
Are you going to send out answers to the sample midterm so that we know?
Could do that. I could also just tell you, but we can work through some of them. We have time today and Monday. So if you've had a chance to look at them, I could go through some now, but otherwise I'll wait till Monday to do that. But sure, let me make a note. I don't know where I'm going to go. Let me make a note to do that. And sample answers. Okay. We'll do. And if you have questions on the answers, then answer questions about the answers. All right. Good. Anything else? Monica said that homework 2 didn't go as well as homework 1 did. And some of the questions that were sticky for people are of a type that will be on the midterm. So we should probably make sure that you get those. So do ask me questions. I don't know if... Has anyone seen... Monica's not here, right? Not yet. Whether the answers have been released... Sorry, the scores have been released for homework 2? Not yet? Okay. All right. And we're inching ever closer to having the clicker questions and the online clicker questions all merged together and in the grade book. Harder than we thought. I don't think it's that hard, but it is. There's a lot of details to get right so that the program does the right thing. So we're working on that. Oh, yes, okay, so homework 3. So I'll release homework 3 in the regular way through Sakai, but I'll make the deadline like a week after the midterm. Seems sort of reasonable. Okay, let's see, what else? Practice midterm went out. Yeah, please look at them and look at homework 3, which will be available shortly, and bring questions so that you can really be sure that you get what you get. Get meaning understand. All right? Any questions at this point? Or do you need a little time to look things over? Or you'll never have any questions. You'll wait for me to do the midterm, and then you get all mad at me for asking questions that are too hard, and then I'll feel bad, and you'll feel bad, and we're just setting ourselves up for disappointment. What do you think, Ari?
I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah, see, he knows these things. Very wise man. All right. So, I did see a really funny, not funny, but like thought-provoking video on YouTube, which I could show you. I don't know, but I'm starting to feel like there's absolutely nothing I could do at this point that will wake you up. Some people have said that I should come and do acrobatics or something, but then I feel like then you're going to expect acrobatics every time. You won't listen to a word I say. All right, so let's do some clicker questions.
Woo-hoo!
Everybody's favorite. Indeed. Where is it? Oh, Baja, right here. Okay. Oh, I do have a question for you. Since I've been using Scratch examples this term, the only way that I can find to take Scratch examples and show them to you is by writing the program in Scratch and then doing the equivalent of like a print screen in Windows, like grabbing the picture from the screen and then pasting it into the notes. And then when I blow it up, I get things that are like this, which I think are readable but are a bit fuzzy. You see them as being a bit fuzzy? Or is it just me, my eyes getting older? There's a couple things I could do. One is I could stop actually using Scratch to do these, and I could just type them correctly and maybe put little colored boxes around them. But then they won't have the nice little click-together stuff, and they won't see the repeat until loop. Looks like a C with stuff inside of it, right? I don't quite know how to draw that. So it wouldn't really be Scratch. It would just be clearer. So I don't know if anybody has any strong feelings about which one would be easier for you to read.
Does this one?
You like it with the boxes?
Yeah.
And the fuzziness of the letter isn't really that horrible a thing. You can read it. It just doesn't jump out. It doesn't have zazz, but at least it has, you know, scratch nature to it. All right. Well, okay, I appreciate that feedback. Thanks. Because this is actually a pain, but anything else other than this would be more of a pain. What's weird is this program doesn't let me actually clip out the little piece of the scratch window. In fact, the whole scratch window is there.
I'll show you this. You'll be horrified to see this. Did two things at once.
All right, I don't know if you can see now. The whole rest of the scratch window with all the little icons and the other scripts and stuff, they're all there. But I hid them. It seems like such a crazy way of doing it. And so as a result, these files are huge, because when I just want a little example of Scratch, I actually have these giant screenshots pasted into the top. All right, so here's what we're doing at the moment. I'm gonna ask three questions. The choices in all three cases are these: A, B, C, D, and E. Last time we talked about the halting problem. It's sort of heady stuff, and there isn't really much I can ask you about it. You either get it or you don't, but I wanted to tell you about it anyway. But the question of can you solve the halting problem is actually sort of interesting, and they're small enough and easy enough that I think you can get them if you work at it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to solve halting problems. And so it goes a little bit like this. So this is one example, and we'll do three that are each a little different from each other. So this is a Scratch script. And what does it do? There's a variable called count. Initially, it sets to some value. Now, if this was the actual Scratch script, there's an actual number there. But I'm asking you to imagine what happens. I'm going to leave that number out for a moment. And then the script looks like this. The script looks like this. It's going to do repeat until what this condition holds true. The count is less than 20. Okay? Until it's less than 20, do the following. Make a pop sound, and then change count by -1, making it one smaller than it was before. Now, this loop is going to keep repeating until this condition becomes true. So, either it's the case that that condition does eventually become true, in which case this will halt, or it may also be the case that no matter how many times it goes around here, that condition will never become true. This little piece of code will run indefinitely. It will go into an infinite loop and not halt. Okay, so any piece of code has one of these two properties. Either it runs forever or it doesn't. It stops before forever happens. And so what I'm wondering is, can you figure out what I could plug in for the question mark that would make this run for a finite amount of time and then stop? So it could be that no matter what I put in for the question mark, any number, this will halt eventually. So that's choice A. It could be that no matter what I put in for the question mark, it will run forever. So that's choice B. It never halts, always loops. In this case, I have choice C as all numbers smaller than 20. So if you set the question mark, just plug in a number like 11, something smaller than 20, that this will run and then stop. And it'll halt as long as you give it a number that's less than 20. Choice D says, as long as you get a number bigger than 20, this will eventually stop. Presumably, in this case, it's saying if you give it a number that's less than 20, it won't stop. And then E says all integers larger than or equal to 20. So the number has to be bigger than 20, and it can't be like 32.9. It can't be a number with stuff after the decimal point. Yeah?
So by halt, you mean the current condition isn't that it stops, you mean that eventually it will stop?
Eventually it will stop. Right. So if the condition holds in the beginning, then it stops right away. But it might be that the condition doesn't hold in the beginning, but after it's gone around the loop a couple times and things have changed, it does eventually stop. And that's what I'm asking about, eventual stoppage. Yeah.
So if the condition is meant in the beginning, that doesn't count?
If the condition is meant in the beginning, it will stop. So that's that counts as stopping.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, in fact, that's the cheap way to halt, right? If you have a program, I will only wear sunglasses if it's 800 degrees Fahrenheit. I will satisfy that rule, not because I'm very good at wearing sunglasses, but because that condition will never be satisfied, and it will never happen. So if we come into this and we instantly the until thing is true, then it halts right away. So that counts as halting. All right, you ready to try? I've got three of these, same choices, but a slightly different loops in each case. All right, ready?
Start.
All right. This is, I guess I gave you a lot of time to think about while I blabbered on. But we have a faster set of people getting answers. Random answers. But fast, you know? Anybody else need a little more time? If you try, you try. All right. So, okay, stopping in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So, somewhat random choices, but fast. So this is, I actually find this kind of, I'm not teasing or anything. We'll work through this, and I think you'll get a better handle on it in a moment. But it is sort of funny, this idea that, well, you can either get the right answer, or you could get the wrong answer, but really fast. It's funny to me because in my subfield of computer science, in AI, a lot of times people will propose algorithms that are faster than stuff that has been, they come before, but they don't give right answers. And they're okay with that. And it always strikes me as being a very weird thing. Like, why are you proposing? I can come up with a program that gives answers really fast. They always answers 12, no matter what the question is. Sometimes it's right. And it's really fast. Anyway, all right.
This will be funnier to you after we finish chapter 5. All right, so
what do we got here? So the choices that people liked were more A, C, and E than the other ones. So A says it always halts. C says it halts as long as the number is less than 20. E says that E is sort of not fitting with the other two. All integers larger than or equal to 20. Well, let's think about the numbers less than 20. What happens if we stick in for question mark a number that's less than 20? What if we put in 4? What will this do? So we stick in 4. So count, the variable count now has the value 4. Actually, forget this. Let's just try it.
We got a scratch nearby. We can do stuff with it. So how does this go? So what was it? It was some kind of loop.
It was
I lost
count, then repeat until.
Right, then repeat until. It's too far down the screen. And we start off with some. Let's make a new variable. Count.
Whoa.
So not that kind of count. And we set count to, question mark. We're going to fill in different things for that. And then was it less than or? Yeah, less than 20. So, count is less than 20. And what do? We pop. Well, you probably want to hear the pop. It's much more gratifying that way. And then we make count one smaller. So change count by minus 1, if these other variables are distracting. All right, is that the whole loop right there? And we wanted what? Oh, except you can't hear yet. Hang on a second.
Hello?
No, that's not the right kind of button. Hear a pop. I think I have the pitch right. Alright, so what is this going to do? A whole lot of nothing! Why did it do a whole lot of nothing? Well, here's count. Count starts off as 4. And what does this say? Repeat until count is less than 20. Is count less than 20?
Yes.
Yes. Is it going to repeat anything?
No.
No, it's done. Okay, very good. That was boring. Alright, what if we put in 20? 20 is not less than 20.
One time.
What just happened? Oh, look, count is not 20 anymore. What happened here? It set count to 20. Watch the count variable. It sets it to 20. It says, is count less than 20? Well, no, it wasn't. It was 20 a moment ago. So it says, okay, I'm going to repeat the steps. I'm going to make a pop sound. Then I'm going to change count by minus 1, making it 19. Goes back up to the top of the loop. Is count less than 20? It is. So it stops. So if it's
less than 20, it stops immediately without popping. If it's more than 20, if it's a little bit more than 20, it pops once. Well, if it's 20, it pops once. If it's 30, okay, watch count this time. So, you see what it's doing? Its count starts up at 30, and each time it goes around this loop, now it's too quiet, you can't hear me. Pop, 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 pop. It decreases, it pops and goes down, pops and goes down, pops and goes down, and then when it goes under 20, it stops. So what can we put in here where it wouldn't stop? What if we put in 1,000? You should stop me before I do this.
Yeah, it will stop eventually.
Will it stop?
Yes.
This is like the most annoying thing ever. All right, so we can stop it. Where can we stop it?
Stop! Stop!
Stop! All right. Now, it would have stopped itself, right? Can we all agree on that?
Yes.
What would have happened between now and then?
We would all have
taken out our revolvers and we would have killed ourselves. But that's not the question. The question is, would it have stopped eventually? And the answer is yes. Or at least we wouldn't have been able to hear it anymore. All right. So now we've played with this a little bit. Let's go back to the question. I haven't told you what I think the right answer is here yet, but I think we now have a little bit more insight into this. For what values of question mark does this scratch script pop? Pop, 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 and then be done. So, numbers smaller than 20?
Yeah.
Yeah, that halted right away. Numbers larger than 20?
Yeah. Eventually.
You say that with such strength.
Eventually.
Right? Yeah. So you give it a big number, and because of the way the loop is, the count comes down. And it's going to come down. No matter how high we set it, it's going to eventually get down to 20, break 20, and stop. So give it numbers bigger than 20, it stops. Numbers smaller than 20, it stops. So so the most accurate answer that we've got is A. Right? Do you see that now? So, and that was, more people chose that than any other answer. But nevertheless, not with a lot of confidence. So we're going to do another one of these right now. So ask me a question. If this didn't go through in your head and all make sense and be clear and stuff, I learned this too long ago and I've lost the ability to tell what makes this hard. But from talking to people, the sense that I get is you have to see what the loop does. You have to kind of step back from the loop and see it as like a process, something that's running, right? So what's happening each time around the loop, in addition to popping, is decreasing the count. And so you have to think about, what does that mean? The count is going to be driven downward. The testing condition, it stops when count is small. When count is smaller than 20, that's what stops it. So no matter how big we start it, because it's constantly getting smaller, it eventually crosses the finish line, right? It eventually triggers that condition and the thing stops. The until becomes true, right? So that's what you have to be thinking about. You can do it step by step in your head, and trying some examples really helps. But what you're trying to do is stretch your brain so that you can see this as almost like a movie, like a process, something that's playing forward. And again. So, all right. So now we're at. We're all. I don't want to say we're pros yet, but we're now getting. We're past the neophyte stage. And here's the next question. It doesn't look like it changed very much, but it changed in what turns out to be a significant way. To read it again.
Okay.
feels like we're winding down. One more time. So according to the registrar, there's 70 people in this class, or 72 people in this class. We've never seen the clicker numbers go much above 50. Will the other people know to come for the midterm?
And they get the emails, yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Do we believe that? Okay, well, we just trust the email does its job. All right. If you know any of those people, do tell them to come visit. All right, another 5 seconds. Five, four, three. We're kidding. That's good.
So the question is eventually called. Right?
Yes. Halt means not run forever. If you stop before forever comes, you halt. All right. Stop. All right, we have a little bit more peakiness to our distribution this time. That looks comforting. 55 is better than 30 something, but and this one I think was a little harder. So let's all right. Let's go back to the thing that knows all, scratch itself. So the difference, and I tried to point it out without killing myself, is that whereas before we asked is count less than 20, now we're asking is count greater than 20. Which seems like a rather minor change, but it actually has a pretty strong implication. So let's see what happens. So we're going to start off, let's try it with 30. So do a little prediction in your head as to what it's going to do, and then I'll actually do it. Ready? There, that was it. If you blinked, you missed it. So what just happened? We set the variable count to 30. And then we repeat until count becomes greater than 20. Okay, well, it already is greater than 20, so it doesn't repeat. It just stops. So if it's bigger than, well, in this case, you can see, if anything bigger than 20, it'll stop right away. But as we saw before, that doesn't mean that's the only case. It could be that we can start with other numbers, and then it'll eventually halt.
So what would be something else to try? So we can try, like 13.4. No, let's not be so cute. Let's do 15, okay? So 15. So what happens now? Good. It's counting down. Great. We got to zero. Okay. Now it's at negative 20. What's happened? Stop it. Stop it. Now, did we stop it because we got bored, or did we stop it because it was never going to stop itself? It was never going to stop. Why? So count started out at 15. Is 15 bigger than 20? No. Okay, let's try this. We'll pop, and we'll make it one smaller. So now it's 14. Well, see, you see what's happening here? It's waiting. The loop is just waiting around for count to get big, but instead, it just keeps getting smaller. Unboundedly small. In fact, it will actually run to like negative, 800,000 or something like that. And even then, it won't stop. And the only thing that will stop it in this case is if the computer crashes. Or the sun goes nova. I mean, there's things outside the computer that could happen, too. The building could fall down. But that's not... We're talking about, abstractly. This will never halt. If count starts out less than 20. What happens if it's equal to 20?
Then it will go
over. Or will it just stop right away?
Why
did they do that?
If it was greater than or equal to,
So we started it out at 20, and the test says, are you bigger than 20? Well, 20 is not bigger than 20. It's the same as 20. So it's going to just, it'll fail the test. It'll go on, and now it's going to become 19. And now it's obvious that we're in a very bad place. It's only going to get smaller from here. Okay?
Are the live examples helping a bit? It seems like it's got to be more concrete for you with this than just imagining it from my, flowery words. It feels more real to me this way. Last year I did this with Python examples, and Python is great, but it doesn't pop, right? You can't actually, feel the iterations, and you can't see the count variable actually decreasing. And I think that probably helps too, because you can, in your mind, you can watch that countdown and see what you'd expect to happen for this to actually make the test become true. Okay? All right. So Anyone want to ask anything else about that example? Let's, someone who didn't get this right. I know there's some people who are more happy being verbal than others, but be quiet for a second. What if we change this to negative 10? Now, negative numbers are a little more annoying to think about, but conceptually, we should still be able to think this through. What's going to happen here? Is this always going to halt? Well, will it halt with the value that we've got in there right now?
Yes.
Yeah. Why is that? Because 20 is bigger than minus 10, so it stops right away. It doesn't actually pop at all. But if we give it a smaller number, like minus 40, then we've got that same problem again. It starts out, can you imagine what Scratch was like before they built the stop sign in? That must have been horrible. You probably just kill the cat if you take a scissor down. And then you feel completely justified, because look what he was doing. All right, so it starts out at minus 40, and again, the same thing is happening here. Minus 40 is smaller than minus 10, and each time it goes through the loop, it gets even smaller. So it's never going to get big enough to cross over and stop the loop from continuing. All right, so now if you're feeling good, I'd like to give you like one where everybody gets it right. I'm not sure how to do that at this point. But here's one that this one unfortunately is a little tricky. So I changed it one more time. Again, the smallest change that I could find, but it makes a big difference. While you're thinking about this, let me show you one thing of this. I know. Just give. This is going to be helpful to some people, I think. So we'll turn it back to what it was before. Greater than 8. All right, and we'll start it off at like 2.5. So what happens now? We haven't been playing with fractional numbers, but watch what happens now. It still just subtracts 1 from whatever it is. So if you hadn't thought that through, I just wanted you to at least imagine that the numbers don't have to be integers. It's still, the program still does something. Anyway, continuing on. Now you can see the questions again. Oh, I have to answer it too. Clicking your head. It's not 20 yet, so it pops and makes it 1 smaller. So now count becomes 24. Goes back to the top of the loop, 24, pops once and goes down 1 smaller. So it counts down, and eventually it hits 20 and stops. this case, it does it 25 minus 20, or 5 times. 22, it'll do it once. 10. All right, good. You can feel it, right? And that's, to me, learning is about not just learning how to, you know, parrot the right things or write the right thing on the paper. When you feel it, it can be really annoying, but that's when you really get it. So, yes, so I'm not going to do this. I will spare you, but because you can see what's going to happen here. You start off at 10. It's not 20. It pops and goes down when now it's 9. Goes back and again. Is it 20? No. Pops one and goes down one. It's now 8. It's just going to keep counting down, and it's never going to stop. Okay? So, we know that 20 or larger seems to be okay, and less than 20 seems to be a problem. But there are other possibilities. In particular, what if we do, like, 22.5?
No.
No, what does no mean?
It'll keep going.
No, don't do it, right? What's that?
Well,
what does work mean? I mean, it's going to pop, but it's not going to stop. You know, like, pop till you stop, this isn't going to stop. Isn't that a song? Pop till you drop? Pop till you something?
No.
No, there's a song. There's a, from High School Musical.
Wow.
What?
What is the Pringles slogan?
Once
you pop, you won't stop. So this is true here.
It's not a song.
No, but there was a. I'm telling you.
No. All right. Me too.
Some other time, perhaps. All right. So let me get the stop sign ready.
Yeah.
That's what I'm gonna do. Let me do it.
Okay.
Right. So what happens? It got smaller than 20. In fact, it got really near 20.
Is that 25?
Yes, if you can't see it, sorry, I'll read it out loud. It's now 32.5. Alright, and so what's happening now when we start it up, it's counting down by one, just like before, but it's always 0.5. And so it goes through 20.5, which isn't 20, and then it skips right over, it goes to 19.5, which isn't 20. And now it's very sad. Right now it just continues getting smaller and smaller and smaller. So in this particular case, it actually misses the termination condition if it's not aligned up with an integer. It needs to be an integer to start. So
that's my question.
Okay. So then what answer did you put?
I put D, but that's wrong. Yeah,
all integers larger than or equal to 20. It has to be an integer. If it's not an integer, it's going to miss 20. So this was meant to be a little tricky. Let's see how people did. I actually don't know. Oh. This is a higher percentage than all the others. That either means that I thought they were getting harder and they won't, or they were getting harder, but you guys are getting smarter faster than the problems were getting harder. And by smarter, you know what I mean by smart, like more adept at these questions. All right, so, but this sort of thing is actually kind of funny. This happens in computers a lot because they tend to have discrete time steps. They do things and then they change and then they're in a new time step. They're not moving through the air like a ball or a hockey stick or something, I don't know, whatever. They're making these discrete jumps. So sometimes in video games, if you have like a missile that's going fast, it's jumping from position to position, and you can actually, modern video games shouldn't do this, but I've written video games that do this, where the missile will actually just skip right over the target because it was here, and then it goes one step to, you know, whatever, 5 steps to the left because it's going 5 steps per click, it skips right over the target and keeps going and doesn't explode. But it's the same kind of thing. So you do have to watch out for this sort of thing. All right. So those were those questions. Let's see. Maybe we can make one that's... that's last year. Sorry. What else can we try here? So we did decreasing counts by one. What about changing count by one instead of minus one? Yeah, so okay. What about this? I'll just plunk that right back in. What's this going to do? So now, it's just like what we were doing before, except count each time it goes through the loop. Instead of count decreasing, it's now increasing. And, you know, the same kind of test can work. But now, if we have a, say, how can we set this up? How can we change this condition here, this guy right here, so that it will always stop? Actually, there's a lot of ways to do it. Let's come up with 3 different ways that this program, the only thing we're going to change is what goes in this little hexagon here,
But it needs to always halt. No matter what number we put in this slot here, it will halt eventually. So what can we do? What can we put in for the test? So, okay, who won?
Repeat until count equals count.
Oh, nice. All right, does everybody see what that's in? I can't put it in the box. I'm a little clueless. Hang on a second. First, I'll make it be the right condition. Count equals count. It's not in there.
It's in.
All right. What will it do?
Nothing.
Whole lot of nothing. Why?
So it starts off with count equal to 10. Does 10 equal 10?
Sure. So it stops. Okay. Well, sure, 10 equals 10, but does 55 equal 55?
Well, yeah.
I mean, no matter what number we put in here, this condition is going to be true because numbers always equal themselves.
Cool.
All right, that's one. I wanted to do three, so that was one. How about something with a less than? Wait, do I want less than? We want less than or greater than. I'll put them both over here so we can think about them. I'll put one count there, put the other count. There. We'll put like 10 in this one and 10 in this one. Which one of these do we want to put in so that the loop will always stop? Eventually.
What's that?
Less than? Greater than? Right? Those are the two choices. How are we going to figure this out? So the count is going to be increasing. So let's do like regular number line. When I face you, I think I might be doing it backwards. But the regular number line says bigger numbers are this way. So what each time through the loop, count is going to move to the right. And we want it to eventually stop. So tell it to stop whenever it gets too big. In other words, when count... No, but if we... Yeah, we could do less than. But watch what's going to happen if we put in less than. If it starts off small... so if it starts off small, like 5, it stops right away. But if it starts off too big, like 55... Right? We start off above the cutoff, and then it never stops. So really what we want to say, we plug in count greater than 10, then if it's too big to start, it stops right away. But if it's too small, it's going to grow until it becomes too big. Let me start right there. That's 6. Interesting. Why does it do 6? I figured it would start at 5, stop at 10, that's 5. Right, it doesn't stop until it gets to 11, right, because 10 equals 10. It gets to 10, but that doesn't stop it. It has to go one beyond. So it ends up going to 11, so there were 6 pops. All right, so that was two things that made it halt eventually. Is there anything else? Can we put in any other number here and have it halt for all initial values of count? Like what? Any number, like -5,000. Nice. All right. So if it starts off big, like 5, nothing happens. But if it starts off small, like -5,027, stop. All right. And in fact, this will. We won't try all possible numbers, but this will stop for all numbers. Okay. What about? Oh, so here's something that you haven't seen. What if, instead of doing this change count by, we do set count to some value? Count is greater than 10. What is this going to do? So it starts off.
Those will pop once.
It'll pop once?
Yeah.
Why?
Because you start off less than 10, and then it plays pop, then it sets count to 15, which is greater than 10, and then it stops
getting. Right? You see that? So in this case, instead of bumping count up, as soon as it goes through the loop at all, it takes count and it just sets it directly to 15, which happens to be bigger than 10, so it stops on the next time around. So it popped once when it turned to 15, and then it was done. That's cute. What if we do this? Set count to count.
No.
So then we, feed it an initial value of 20. nothing happened. Compute an initial value of 5.
Trouble.
Now, 5 is not greater than 10, so what, it's going to take count, and it's going to make it whatever count is, which means it's not going to change. That's not really what we want. Let's do something else. Let's double it. Yeah, I like this one. Huh. All right. So read this correctly. Count, set count to count times 2. What does that mean? It takes whatever count is now, multiply it by 2, double it, and then take that value and assign it back to count. So what's going to happen here? It starts off at 2, and it's going to double a couple times until it breaks 10. Right? So it starts off at 2. Once around the loop, it goes up to 4. The next time, it's up to, 8. And then it's up to 16. 16 is bigger than 10. It stops. So that's kind of interesting. So if it starts off really big, like if we started off at 2,000, it does nothing. But if we started off something small, like 1, it pops a couple times until it breaks. Well, does it always get to 16? What if we started at 3? What would stop it? That's a good question. See if you can think through. It will stop. If we started at 3, it'll stop. But at what will the value be when it stops?
12.
Why? Because it starts off at 3. It doubles once up to 6, which is still less than 10. It doubles again up to 12. All right? And then it's bigger than 10, so it stops. I apologize for the whole stopping. Actually, next lecture, I'm bringing a big pile of socks. So this is just really to prepare you. So let's see. So how many times should it pop then? Once for 3, once for 6. Does it pop for 12? No. So it should just pop twice. Pop, pop. Why does it say 6? Oh, that was a bug. You see that? It didn't really stop at 6. It just didn't update properly. All right. So, is there anything we can stick in here where it will not halt? We now know that anything like 1 and above, that all seems to halt. What about a half? What if we put in a half? It's going to stop at 16. Right. It's going to start at a half, double once, and up to 1. We already saw what happened with 1. Interestingly, the computer preferred to write that as 16.0, as distinct from 16. I don't know if they're the same or not.
What about negatives?
What about negatives? Give me a negative.
-3.
When you double a negative, which way does it go? Does it go up or down? It goes down. So if it starts off too small and it gets even more small, it's not going to stop. Look how big the number. Look how fast the numbers get big now. It's possible that at some point it's going to die because it can't represent numbers that big. So that's impressive, actually. That's a big number. Yeah, sorry about that. Well, at least you weren't thinking about the popping. All right. Is it going to stop? No. Well, it will. Eventually, the screen's going to run out of room for the digits. But that's not really stopping. That's crashing. So, -3 didn't work. Oh, what about this? I've got an idea. We're good at logic, right? Just say yes. Yeah, that's what I thought. What if we do this? Get in there. Oh, good. All right. Oh, it's not quite fitting on the screen. Can you see what it says, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. So we can put any logical expression in that hexagon box. So at the moment, what I've got in there is something that says, repeat until count is bigger than 10 or less than minus 10. Right? So now when we started off with a positive number, like 1, oh, look what we did to this box. This is like what happens when you like binge diet, I think. Like everything stretches and then it doesn't go back. What? That's horrible. All right. Well, anyway, it's 16. So what happens here? So it started out at 1, and it doubled it a couple times until it went to 16. 16 is either bigger than 10 or less than minus 10. It is. It's one of those two things. In fact, it's bigger than 10. What if we start out at minus 1? Now it's going to get to minus 2, minus 4, minus 8, minus 16, which stops. Why?
Because minus 16, in this case, it's less than minus 10. So now we've like caught it on both sides. If it's a positive number, it starts getting big, and it gets cut off. And if it's a negative number, it starts getting small, and it gets cut off. Is that a question? Yeah.
But if we're, instead of it being an or, if we're an.
Ah.
Hold that. We'll do that. But first I want to ask, so now it looks like we catch everything, right? Is there any, if I ask the question, what was the question? The question is, for what values of question mark does this scratch script halt?
It seems to, we tried a bunch of negatives, we tried a bunch of positives. Does it halt for all values? Does it halt for all things we could fill in there?
Or is there anything that will cause it not to halt? Yeah, hold the thought. Let it percolate. All values? So it seems like we covered both ends of the spectrum, right? Any other thoughts? Who thinks it always halts? Oh, now you're playing a guessing game. Like, would he ask the question if? Because if you don't put your hand up, then you have to tell me something that it would not halt for. Can you think of any value I could plug in there where it wouldn't halt? It's not a half. It's not negative 1. It's not negative 50, because that halts right away. So what could you plug in? It looks like everything's covered. Yeah. Sure. We can plug in 10. So it plays the pop sound, takes 10 and doubles it, now it's 20, goes back to the top. Is it bigger than 10 or less than minus 10? Yeah, it's bigger than 10. So now it stops. It pops once, it's out, it halts, it's done. So is there anything else that we haven't done? What about the square root of 3? Well, it's hard to type that.
Zero.
Did you have, you had your hand up before too. There's a couple of you who had your hands up when I was purposely ignoring you, guessing that you had the right answer. Were you thinking that too? You're thinking zero also? So zero, what happens with zero?
It stays zero.
Zero doubled is zero. When will it get bigger than 10 or less than minus 10?
Never.
Never! Zero. Shut up. Okay. All right, so sometimes it can be kind of tricky. So that was the or. We had a request for an and, because, you know, it's like Simon and Garfunkel, right? You really want both. You got an or, you want an and. All right, so, think about pop. So what's going to happen here? We still have a very big expression. We're going to repeat until count is bigger than 10 and it's less than minus 10. When will that happen? Not anytime soon. Right, so in this case, it's going to just double without bounds, because count can't both be a big, a positive number and a negative number at the same time. That's what and means. Did that clarify? Forget who suggested the and. Yeah, right? You see where it's going with that? Yeah. What if we stuck a not in front of all this? Since we're such logic studs here, we have not in our repository, our toolbox. All right, so it says, repeat, until it's not the case, the count is bigger than 10, and count is less than minus 10. Will this always halt? Yeah, so yeah, hold it in your head. It's not simultaneously bigger than 10 and smaller than negative 10. When will that be true?
Always. This will immediately halt every time.
No matter what number we put in 5, it's like, okay, wait, We put in 5, so we see what it did? Nothing. But why? Why did it do nothing? There's the 5 in the huge box on the left. So why? Okay, so is count bigger than 10? No. Is count less than minus 10? No. So it's false and false, which is false, but we not it. So it's not false, which is true. So it's going to do, if the condition is true, then the loop doesn't run. So basically, this is always going to halt no matter what the input is. And the reason is that no matter what you stick in for count, that expression, that not greater than, less than, and expression, is always true. There's no value of count that makes that false. So this loop, it'll never ever pop. It'll never ever run forever. It's just always going to stop immediately. Okay? Good?
I think I've shown you my favorite ones now. So, but if you want to see another one before we sign off on this for now, I'm game. But I'm thinking that you guys have picked this up a lot faster than last year's group. I'm hoping. Yeah.
When a set's count, that means it doubles, so it's a set count to 5. And then at the end, it says set count to count, that means 5 plus 5 times 2.
No, it's taking this expression, it's the count times 2, so that doubles it. And then it says set the count variable to that value. So count is appearing in two different forms. It's the name of a variable here, and it's an actual value of the variable on the right-hand side. You see that? So, like if I said to you, no, I can't think of a good example off the top of my head. But the way that this set thing works is it sets the count variable 2, and then it works out whatever the number is on the right-hand side. And the way that it gets the number in this case is it takes whatever count is now, if it's 5, multiplies it by 2, gets 10, and sets count to be 10. No, there's no more times at that point until it comes around the loop again next time. So really, this just doubles it once.
Oh, yes, I can connect to the last lecture. Ready? Watch this. All right, what do you think about this?
It's a little weird, but
we can run it. I mean, it should do something.
It'll stop 10% of the time on average.
Yep.
It's doing something weird on the right-hand side here. Oh yeah, okay, good. That was great. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20.
So what is it doing? We set count to some initial value. Turns out that the value is almost completely irrelevant as long as it's something less than 9. So once it's something less than 9, it goes into the loop. It pops, and then it sets count to a random number between 1 and 10. Oh, we didn't do 1 and 10 before. We did always 0 and 1. But when it's random 1 and 10, that just says, give me a number, any number between 1 and 10. It's like pick a card, any card. I got 10 numbers. That statement returns one of them at random. Okay? So now count has a new value, something between 1 and 10. Until that number is 10, something bigger than 9, it will just keep going through and picking another one and popping. So this will eventually halt with probability 1, is how we say that. So there is, it could run arbitrarily long, but the chance that it will run forever is 0. So it will stop eventually, no matter what the initial value count is. How many times will it pop on average?
No.
What's that?
Oh, on average?
Yeah, on average. Right, you can't tell me for sure how many times, because sometimes it's going to run, and the first time it'll pick 10, and sometimes it'll pick 3, 6, 7, 2, 4, 1, 2, and then pick 10 and stop. 1 out of every 10 times, it'll stop. So it should run about 5 times, like half, sort of. Could be. We could make one that'll run 5 on average. This is not it. So this is similar to the have a girl example, right? So if we change this to 0, 1,
and you know, keep going until it has a number bigger than zero. So keep going until you get a one. We'll say girl is a one. So how many times will this run on average? Sometimes it'll do one. Sometimes it'll do two. Sometimes it'll do one. One. One, two. One. I want to hear a three. Four. All right, I'll accept that. So it runs different amounts of times. The average is not one. One is actually the smallest it could do. But on average, it turns out that it's two. And we can attempt to actually do that math. It was suggested last time. I don't think he's here. But anyway, now I'm less tempted to do it. All right, so, but anyway, the point is that if the probability of it, of hitting the stopping condition is some probability p, then the average number of times is 1 over p that it's going to run through this loop. So in this case, if we pick a number 1 to 10, no, that's not what I'm doing. That's 1 to 10, and we only let it stop if it gets 10, then the probability of stopping is 1 out of 10. So the expected number of times is 10 over 1, or 10. So it's like 5, but it's twice as big in this case. So sometimes it actually has to run quite long. It seems to always be stopping if you're in the 10. Alright, you okay with that? A question? No? Alright. Alright, so what I'd like to do, I think, is hop back to chapter 4. There was a couple last comments. So the last time we ended off with the video, the Answer Man video. So somebody put a comment on my YouTube channel. Was that somebody in the class? I was expecting it was somebody in the class. I'm not angry anymore, I'm just curious. It's very hard to tell. When people leave random comments on my YouTube channel, it's like, do I know you? Should I answer you with some context? Or are you just a random person and maybe you don't even care if I have an answer? Alright, anyway, so somebody left a message on my channel that just said, I still don't understand the halting problem. So of course, I'm a professor and I can't just let that sit, right? So I had to write this little dissertation about, oh, well, the guy in the video really represents the... It's very hard to tell whether that was a good idea or not. So anyway, what's going on with the video is, in the video, the answer man, the computer that made the bet initially, that he could tell for everybody in the bar whether that person is going to drink tequila with salt or not, is analogous to Halt Tester, a program that can tell whether any other program is going to halt. The singer is playing the role of Contrary, this little program that basically asks Halt Tester, will I halt? And then it does whatever the opposite of whatever the Halt Tester says. All right. So asking whether or not the program drinks tequila with salt is like asking whether or not the program is going to halt. And so that's why, and you know, it seems obvious that this should be impossible. You can't always win this bet if I'm allowed to ask you what you think about me and I have an opportunity to do the opposite. So this is not a guaranteed winnable bet. And Halt Tester is the same thing. It's not a guaranteed winnable or correct answering program. Now, somebody pointed out, and I think maybe this will help those of you who haven't thought this all the way through yet, that it's not impossible to write a program that can test if some other programs halt. The only thing that we know is impossible is that it can tell whether every program halts, because that set of all programs includes the programs that ask about themselves. If you can exclude those, then there's a chance that you can actually tell whether or not something's going to halt. So what makes the halting problem impossible is the requirement that it works for all possible input programs. Now, I have heard... Oh, let's see. So in the book, Hillis talks about the halting problem a little bit. And he basically makes the following claim. So there are lots of other problems that computer scientists and mathematicians have analyzed and tried to understand that they've discovered are actually reducible to the halting problem. That basically, if you could solve these problems, you could use them as a subroutine to solve the halting problem. And since we know you can't do that, then you must not be able to solve this other problem. So some problems are really incomputable in that way, that a solution would imply something that's impossible. They all have something to do with testing whether there's an infinite number of comparisons and you're never quite sure when to stop. Hillis says that all of the examples
that he's aware of are very artificial, the sort of things that logicians make up. And sure, they're incomputable, but nobody really cares because you can actually solve them. But it turns out that I actually worked on a problem for my thesis and spent a lot of time trying to solve it. Write a program that will always be able to solve this problem. And, you know, for the record, it had to do with finding optimal policies for partially observable Markov decision processes. And I started to get, the longer I worked on this and the more that I didn't have any way of solving it, the more I started to wonder whether this was actually the halting problem in disguise. And I actually, my thesis said, I think this is probably incomputable. And some time later, somebody at the University of Washington was working on his thesis, and he said, yeah, I think that Lippmann guy was right, and here's the proof. So he actually showed that the problem that I was working on was impossible. No computer could solve this problem in all cases. So I would say that that was a naturally occurring problem. Unlike what Noah said, which is that all these problems are very artificial, this is a problem that I really wanted a solution to. Had I solved it, well, we know now that it wasn't solvable. But it seemed like I would have, you know, I've gotten some amount of fame for that. Of course, if I had solved it, and now we know that it's impossible, I would have gotten some amount of infamy for solving something that, well, obviously giving an incorrect solution to a problem. So I've heard people, when philosophers hear about the halting problem, and maybe you're thinking these thoughts too, they're not unreasonable thoughts, but I don't buy them, that people can tell whether programs halt. You just look at them. In fact, we just played that game for half an hour or so, looking at a program and figuring out when it would halt or not. And so the logicians say, or the philosophers say, look, people can solve this problem. We can prove that computers can't solve this problem. Therefore, computers are smarter than people. No, wait, the other way around. See, you can see how I really feel about this. People are smarter than computers. People are fundamentally different and more than computers can possibly be. And we have, you know, proof. The halting problem is our proof of that. And it just seems baloney to me. Because it's really easy to write little bits of code that people don't know whether or not they halt or not. So this is a problem that's sometimes called the 3x plus 1 problem. And you don't have to know much about this, but it is just knowing that this exists is kind of weird. Because you can doodle this in your margin all day long and think that you're getting somewhere and you don't. So it's also sometimes called the Poulette's problem, and it goes like this. It's just the same kind of loops that we were looking at a little while ago. It's only a little bit here. So let me step you through it. And we can do this in Scratch too. This is an actual piece of running Scratch code that does this. So we start off, instead of count here, I'm using the variable x, but it's playing the same role. We just repeat until x is smaller than 2. All right, well, what do? We pop, or in this case, I'll just have it say x for 1 second. Then we do the following test. If x mod 2 equals 0, anyone know what that means? Mod means what is the remainder when you divide by 2. So if I say x mod 2 is 0, in other words, the remainder, if you divide x by 2, is 0. What is x? What kind of number is x?
An even number.
This happy little pocket is fine with it, but did other people see that too? Any number that if you divide it by 2 and you have a 0 remainder, that's an even number, right? A number that's divisible by 2. So that's all this is saying. I'm saying if x is even, then set x to x divided by 2. We know that you can divide it by 2 and still get an integer because it's an even number. So if x is even, have it. Otherwise, do the following. Take x, triple it, and add 1. No biggie, right? This isn't big, fancy, like, integral, scary math or anything. It's just triple it and add 1, right? And after it's done that, even numbers it halves, odd numbers it multiplies by 3 and adds 1. What kind of number will we get, by the way? If we take an odd number, triple it, and add 1, will the resulting number be odd, even, or you can't tell?
Even.
Even. Why? Maybe. Could it be either? So this is an odd number. What's an odd number times 3? Has to be odd. There's no factors of 2 on either side of the multiplication. So this is odd, but then we add 1 to it, so it becomes even. So we go through here. If it's an even number, we have it. If it's an odd number, we expand it, turning it into an even number, so next time it's going to get halved. But we go back up to the top of the loop and do it again. So now you can look at this, and you can ask, what values can we put in that box? So that this, the question is there anything we can put in that box that will make it not halt? For what values will it halt? Is it all values, or is it only some values? And you can think about that for a moment. I will let you think about that for a moment while I drag it.
Let's can try it. Actually, I wish I had it. Do I have it lying around? I don't think so. I wish I could just drag it from the lecture and put it in here. So while count, what did we say? It was less than two, right? While count is, no, repeat until it's less than two. We'll pop, and then we have to do an if statement. So if it's even, numbers. I know I can type that, but why do they do it this way? It's probably better if you're not sure how to make programs. Boy, it's slow. Variables. Count. Zero. And we're gonna set count to something, and we'll set count to something else. What do we set it to? Count over two. So if it's even, then we set count to count over two. Otherwise, multiply it by three. And add one. And that's our if statement. This guy didn't want it. That's our if statement. Okay, that's the colads problem. Alright, we good? So what happens if we put in a power of 2, like 16? Let's think through what happens with 16. So is it less than 2? No, so it pops. Is it even? 16, yes? So we have it. So now it becomes 8. We go back to the top. Is it less than 2? No. Is it even? Yes. So we have it and it becomes 4. Back to the top. Is it less than 2? No. Is it even? Yes. So we have it again. It goes down to 2. Is it less than 2? No. Is it even? Yes. So we have it. It goes down to 1 and stops. Okay? Now it's less than 2. So it'll pop just a couple times and it'll be done. All right. So any power of 2, what it's going to do, like anything that's 2 times 2 times 2, it's going to just keep having until it hits 1 and then it's going to stop. So that's easy. But what about weird numbers like 22? Why do you think 22 does? You see that? It goes up, it goes down, eventually it becomes a power of 2 and then it finishes. But before that, it's all over the place. It's not always getting smaller, so it's not making steady progress towards finishing. It's popping around and then it stops. And now the question is there anything we can plug in here where it wouldn't stop? And we can spend all day just plugging in numbers and discovering, okay, well that one, oh, it went through 22. See that? So it should stop at just a moment. There it goes. You know, and so forth. 853. It goes through to some crazy pattern. There, hit 22 again. So now it's going to stop right now. All right? So every number that we plug in here, it seems to work. But the fact of the matter is, mathematicians have been looking at this for 30, 40 years, and nobody knows the answer to this question. Nobody knows whether there's anything that we can plug into that would cause this to loop forever. Yes?
That's because numbers go up forever, so they couldn't test all of them.
Right, but you're absolutely right. The reason that this is hard is because it seems like they could grow forever. They've tried things like proving, well, but it can never get bigger than this one, or something like that. Or if it's bigger than this, then it falls into a pattern. Nor have they been able to find any loops that it could fall into. Like if there's a number that if you apply this operation to it a bunch of times, comes back to itself, then it'll be in an infinite loop. And they can't find a number like that. But my point is that this very simple, tiny little program that we can even write in Scratch, people can stare at this, and they have stared at this for a very long time, and have no idea whether they can't solve this solving problem. Yeah?
What is it about those numbers that you
said? I don't know. And so I once misremembered this and put minus 1 in here instead of plus 1 and tried it, and it goes bop, bop, bop. It just stops right away every time. Really quickly. And in fact, I think you can even prove it. So there's something, I don't want to say magical, but something sort of chaotic about this combination of having numbers, tripling and adding one, and it just seems to find this weird kind of unpredictable pattern, almost like randomness, even though it's completely deterministic. It has this random feel to it. It's very difficult to tell what it is that it's going to do. So,
Right. So I just don't really like this argument. This since computers can't solve the halting problem, we're smarter. I'm not convinced that we can solve the halting problem for all programs. In fact, there's even tiny programs that we can't solve. So, or we haven't been able to solve yet. So I have heard a philosophical argument that I really like that relates to the halting problem. This was in the newspaper a couple weeks ago. Apparently there's a community that talks about this stuff a lot. They say the following: since the halting problem can't be solved, and let's just admit that maybe it can't be solved by us either. It's just unsolvable. Any system that includes itself is going to be too complicated to be able to predict exactly what's going to happen in the future. So, since we can't reliably predict the future, especially if we are programs running in a computer, we know this is true, even when the future is the future execution of a deterministic program, they say this is what free will is. I don't know if you've spent a lot of time thinking about free will, but it is one of these things that really breaks your head. Because you have to, at one moment you say, well, everything that's happening is happening according to physical processes, so are we choosing things? No, we're just kind of going along. The flow just happens to us. And it feels like maybe we're making choices, but the fact of the matter is the choice was going to happen that way because of physics. But that feels completely wrong, right? It feels like we're making decisions all over the place and that those decisions have actual consequences. So how can we simultaneously not have free will and have free will? And some people are saying, it's the halting problem. Yes, we're running a deterministic program, but you can't tell where it's going to go except by running it. And therefore, we don't know what the future will bring. So it's almost as if it's not determined. I don't know. I just thought that was sort of weird and hard to think about for a while. I just wanted to just, like, stare at the ceiling for a while and wonder, am I in a computer? Is this the Matrix? So that's kind of the upshot of that. So here's what I'd like to do. 4:32. So we're done at 4:40, right? Any videos you want to see again? Oh, I can show you the video that I was going to do. Yeah, let me do that. Let me show you this video that someone pointed me to. Unless you have any questions, actual contentful questions. I'll answer contentful questions. But I really, next time, I really need your help with you telling me where you feel like you're stuck. What kind of questions are stumping you? Because I feel like I could explain it. I really could. I'm a professional.
I actually do have a question.
Oh, okay.
In one of the examples, it said stop script. What does that do to the script?
Oh, that's okay. That's a fine question. So it stops the script.
Okay.
So in particular, I wanted, I debated internally whether or not I wanted to do that. But what there's two stopping things that you can plug on at the end here. Stop all means when that statement is reached, any scratch script that's running is forced to halt. On the other hand, stop script says this script that I'm running right now is done.
Just what it's attached to.
Whatever, that's right. The block that it's attached to, that's the script. And that script itself that caused that statement to be reached is no longer with us. Yeah, and so it's somewhat useful to put at the end block here, but it's more useful to stick inside someplace. If a loop is running and you want to stop the script without having to get all the way to the end here, you can just stick one of these in the middle and it freezes itself. Okay? But you know that, like, if I leave this off, it does the same thing, right? Everybody knows that. But once it reaches the end, it also stops the script. Okay, all right, so here's a... I'm not entirely sure that I actually agree with this video, but I have to admit it's extremely well done. And I will not ask any other clicker questions or anything after this, so feel free if you want to pack your bags now. I have no objection. However, if there's anything you can do to make this load faster, I appreciate that. It's got a title. I do notice that the network is the wireless signal is really weak here. But it's been powerful in other weeks. I'm trying to catch the rays. Feels like that should work, but it's not. Oh, it did work. I got two bars now. Hallelujah. People have places to go here.
Does that work?
No.
I saw a snapping machine the other day that was going, hey. It was so irritating, so I started to just pound on it. Anywhere I could like shake it and just like make the noise stop.
Did it work?
No, it didn't work. I wanted to say, yeah, it would have been like, and then it crushed me and I'm dead. No, but that, that was a very scary laugh. Oh, the video is long, too. We don't need to see the end of this. You get the idea pretty quickly, actually.
What's that? Loads. Different loads.
Yeah, it is.
So that was going to happen to offer.